And on your ballot will be a constitutional amendment waiting for your approval to add 4 seats to the State House, 2 seats to the State Senate. How are you going to vote on it? Good morning. Welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. So far, the objections have centered on cost. The case for it is that without bigger legislature, rural Alaskan communities are going to lose. Our phone number, 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422. How hard a job are we going to have to leave the reapportionment board the issue on Talk of Alaska statewide?
Today's program is underwritten in part by NMS, building a culture of safety through active caring. More information online at nmsusa.com. If you know an Alaskan struggling to find health insurance because of a pre-existing medical condition, encourage them to talk to a local insurance broker about the new temporary federal insurance program being administered by ACHEA, the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Association. The program is for those with qualifying pre-existing conditions and who have been uninsured for at least 6 months. Talk to an independent insurance broker or go online to ACHIA.com. This message sponsored by ACHEA Fed.
You know, I'm thinking about how to approach this program, and it occurred to me the last reapportionment board, because every 10 years you get a census, and then you have the hard work and the very, very political work of deciding where the lines are going to be for the districts. And it's political even when they try not to be political, but the fact of the matter is they end up being very political. But just in terms of the raw geography of it, When the population of the state grows, what is going to happen to the districts? I mean, it's real obvious what is going to happen to the districts. There's going to be more people in each district. And at some point, people start losing representation. And in Alaska, this is a sparsely populated state, and we already have some districts that are enormously disparate and represented by only one person in the state house and one state senator who has to represent an even larger area. So the question is, has the time come with the next census and the reapportionment that will follow it with our census complete, has the time come for us to change the size of the legislature, make it bigger so the districts don't have to have so many people in them? We have a couple of people to discuss this with, both from the state legislature. And indeed, our original guest was Representative Reggie Jewell of Kotzebue, but he is stuck in the Barrow Airport. He may join us by telephone. And so he scrambled around and got to two others, one urban, one rural, to be with us today on this program to discuss this with you. And of course, our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255. That's 478-TALK. If you're calling from Anchorage, you can dial 550-8422, and the email is talk@aprn.org. And this subject has received very little publicity, and already I'm getting emails on it. And Senator Donnie Olson of Nome, you were telling me that this has taken a while to get it to this point.
It has, partly because there's been the lack of focus on it with other things that are going on, mainly the natural gas pipeline and some of the other issues that have been happening in the legislature. And so because of that, the expansion or the idea of expanding the number of seats in the legislature with a constitutional amendment has kind of taken a back burner.
But it got through. It got through both houses this year, and I didn't hear a whole lot of controversy over it. And so now it's a fact. It's there for the voters to say yes or no to, and the time has come to educate the voters. And all of a sudden, there's all these other issues.
That's correct.
So what is the so let's try to do a little educating here. What is the reason why you favor this?
Well, first of all, let's just look at some of the history that has gone on in the state of Alaska. As you look at Alaska in 1912, 1913, there was the push to try and get Alaska a seat so we could start having representation in Washington, D.C. So they started out as a district and then became a territory in the 20s and then obviously became a state back in 1959. And we've been celebrating the 50th anniversary over the last year or so. But as you look at the number of legislators that were in there. Initially, we started out, I think, with 8 senators and 16 or so representatives from throughout the state of Alaska, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Judicial District. And then I think it was 1924, they had an increase when we were a territory, an increase in the number of senators and representatives. Then, of course, in 1959, we went to 20 senators and 40 representatives throughout the state of Alaska. And as you look at something like that, we have not changed the number of people that are in the legislature since then. Two factors have significantly changed. The first has been the population. The population of the state back in 1959 was just over 200,000. Now, the 2010 census shows that we're up around 700,000. So we've more than tripled in the last 50 years. More significantly, the state budget back in 1959-60, the state budget was less than $200 million. Now, the state budget runs up around $11 billion with a B, and so it shows you the size and scope of the job that needs to be done. Obviously, the issues that we can address are out there, and to do that with the same number of people seems to go ahead and spread that job thin. What's even more significant is that as we look at the distribution of the population, which back 50 years ago was pretty homogeneous throughout the state. I mean, you had your larger metropolitan centers like Anchorage and Fairbanks, and maybe down in southeastern some of the larger communities that are there. But as you look at what's gone on and the maldistribution that has happened more recently, we've seen an influx of the population because of high energy prices and other factors that are out there, healthcare being one of them, that to go ahead and see the people that are in rural Alaska having to come to Anchorage or to some metropolitan area like Fairbanks or Kenai to go ahead and get healthcare, get affordable housing, and those kind of things that are necessary as our population ages and continues to have a longer longevity of life than it did 50 years ago. So it's because of that we have essentially districts that are increasing in size, in square footage, and square miles. For example, I've got my district goes from the Canadian border to the Russian border, the Canadian border or demarcation point, all the way to the Russian border, the Diomede, and then goes down to Hooper Bay. But that's by far not the largest district. The largest district comes up against me, and that's Senator Al Kukesh, who starts down in Metlakatla in the extreme, extreme southeast part of Alaska, and goes all the way up through central Alaska, goes all the way up to northwest Alaska, and butts up against my district where he's representing Caltag, Nulato, and those places that are out there that are far and away from where he's at. Fortunately, I've got the advantage of being able to fly to my communities and see the 54 communities that I have out there. He has over 120 communities that are in his district, and he doesn't fly, and he's got to go from Angoon to Juneau, and then go from there to Anchorage and someplace else. A good example is going to Lyme Village. He has to go then to Aniak, then to go to Lyme Village. So it takes a full day, and if not a day and a half, to get there. And so you run into situations where there are people in communities that he never sees during the 4 years that he's there, because one, it's expensive to get out there. Number two, it's from a practical standpoint, it's logistically difficult to get there. And so because of that, we have a constituency that is somewhat disenfranchised. They never see their senator. They never see their representative. They are feeling like, well, the state really doesn't care because I never see them. Every time I have an issue with flooding or housing or education, I can't go to my representative or senator that in the urban areas you have right next door. And so because of that, with this population coming out during the 2010 census, we're going to have an increasing size for the redistricting committee to go ahead and make it so that we have somewhere around 17,500 people in each district. And so because of that, it's going to get even larger unless we do something about it. And this was the logical fix that we had in speaking to people like Gordon Harrison, who wrote on the constituent, speaking to other people that have been around and have looked at this issue from a very intellectual standpoint. How do we go ahead and comply with things like the federal 1965 Voting Rights Act and those where you're dealing with minority populations as well as other populations that are in throughout the state. And so because of that, I put this legislation forward Senate Joint Resolution 21 got it through both bodies of the legislature and now is before the people of the state of Alaska to see if we should have a constitutional amendment to increase the size of the legislature to 44 representatives and 42 senators down there in Juneau.
With our population of what it is now, would that take the number of people per district, House district, back down to what it was at the last census?
It pretty much would. I think the last census would show that we had somewhere around 15,000 to 15,500 people per House district, and this would bring it from 17,500 back down to 15,500, so you'd have generally the same size district that you had before. And so those people that were used to seeing you, you could rest assured that you wouldn't be increasing the number of villages that were there. What happened during the last redistricting was that I went and campaigned down in the lower part of my district and had Nunavak, Nightmute, and Nunamiqua, and after redistricting, because of the population shift, I lost those communities and then picked a pilot station.
Yeah. So it occurs to me, you said more importantly, and then you talked about money, and then I thought about, the way that the capital budget is traditionally done, there are some people that only have one municipality in their district. And then there's others that have, dozens, even hundreds of communities with schools.
Right.
And school construction needs and so forth. And if you take the capital budget, and you just split it up district by district by district, there's a real problem, isn't there?
There is. And some of the political sophisticates that are out there that are looking at this seem to appreciate it. But it's by far some people that aren't, as all they see is dollars, monies, and where they're at, and forget the other people. And I think that because of what's gone on and the sentiment that we have that Alaska's resources are what provides for the budget in the state of Alaska, and that mainly comes from rural Alaska, that there should be some consideration, although I'm fully aware that one man, one vote, you are able to go ahead and cover that, but there also should be some consideration that people out in rural Alaska have got the ability to go ahead and have things like the basic necessities of life, like water and sewer, which is not necessarily true in some of the villages. As a healthcare provider and a medical doctor that's been out there since 1984, I'm well aware of that and well aware of what water and sewer can do to morbidity mortality rates around this, anywhere in the world. And once you have running water, and I think your child infant mortality and those kind of things are certainly going to are going to go down once you have water and sewer. And that's just a basic issue.
Basic public health. I want to turn now to Representative Les Guerra, an urban legislator. You voted for this.
I did, Steve. I want to talk about why this is an important measure, though I just want to drop one anecdote, which Donnie just touched on. Woody Salmon, who does a great job for his interior district, it's the Yukon River, Richardson Highway, all the way down to Tyonek. His district is bigger than the state of Texas. He's always scrambling to put together the avgas money so he can go out and fly, right? He was trying to get to Tyonek a little while ago, and he was scrambling to put together the cash. Here's the problem. As the districts grow, your voice gets smaller. So just think of it this way. If you had 10 people in your district and you wrote your legislator would listen to you, right? The smaller the district, the bigger your voice. The smaller the district, the more important your vote. When your district becomes a million people inside your district, you get form letters back from your legislator, right? Your legislator doesn't have the time to talk to you, the time to meet you, and your vote as one of a million is not as powerful.
But let me ask you this. As an urban legislator, right, if you keep the legislature at the same size, doesn't that actually benefit the urban areas? Doesn't that benefit Anchorage?
I don't think it benefits anybody, first of all.
Really?
And as somebody who comes from Anchorage, I don't really want to make my people more stronger than people who live in a rural area. I mean, that's just not how – that's not right. Would I feel better that power goes away from rural Alaska? No, but that's really not what this initiative is totally about. There's the rural aspect, which Donnie was very strong on. Without this, rural Alaska will lose a voice, and that's bad. But it's really about an initiative that's good for urban and rural folks. The smaller your district, the bigger your voice. And the more your legislator has to pay attention to you because they know your vote counts. Because the smaller the district, you get a couple families together and a legislator is worried about losing all those families' votes, they start thinking. So it's important in terms of keeping your voice. All this will do, it's a very modest proposal, will reduce the size of the districts back to what they were 10 years ago. And if we don't do this and the districts keep growing, it's bad for democracy. Let me give you one other thing. Politicians love to gerrymander districts. Every 10 years, when the census comes out, the party in power gerrymanders the heck out of the state. The bigger the districts, the more they can do that, right? Trust me, right now, the sort of party chairs out there are scrambling to try and draw districts that take your vote away. The redistricting board, because we have a Republican governor and a Republican-led legislature right now, the redistricting board is going to be four Republicans and one Democrat. They're going to draw the next lines, and I can tell you what they're trying to do and what they will do. They will try and create as many Republican districts as possible and as few Democratic districts. And if the Democrats were in power and they did what they've done in the past.
So there'll be certain districts that will be overwhelmingly Democratic, and then there will be other districts of which the Democrats are slightly outnumbered.
Right. It's easy to do. The Democrats have done it in the past. The Republicans have done it in the past. Mm-hmm. If you don't want party chairs to predetermine your vote and draw districts that benefit their party, you want smaller districts. Because the bigger the district, the easier it is to gerrymander. You can all of a sudden grab Sleep Mute and put that in the same district as Eagle River and Tyonek. But the smaller the district, the less games the folks who want to sort of cheat the system.
And of course, it seems that they do tend to be more gerrymandered, perhaps more now than they used to be, and they are inevitably challenged in court, and sometimes they have to be fixed somewhat.
Sure. There's only one state in the country that has a fair non-political process, and that's the state of Iowa. And we should do something like that here, too. But in the meantime, if you don't want the sort of Democratic or Republican party chairs out there predetermining your vote by creating a district that they know they can win, you want it to be smaller. But you really want your voice out there.
Les, you're such a wonk. It's Talk of Alaska, 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. A local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email is talk@aprn.org. And our original guest for this, you guys are doing a great job, maybe even better than Reggie Jewell would have, but he joins us by telephone for a moment from the airport in Barrow where he's about to get on an airplane. And he got stuck up there. Reggie, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry you couldn't be with us today. I understand the problems. These guys seem to be holding up their end of the deal fairly well, but I wanted to give you a chance to make your case because you're definitely an advocate for this constitutional amendment. So go right ahead.
Well, I think you're listening to two other gentlemen who are advocates as well, and I'd like to thank Donnie and Les for being on the air, but also. You know, there's a formal group that's there, and that's Progress Alaska, and so we're trying to work to get the message out, because with all the activity in this year's election, this is one of those issues that kind of comes under the radar. And, you know, anytime we go to amend the Constitution of the state of Alaska is a very important thing, and in this case, we're asking the voters to expand the size of the legislature, which is something we have not done since statehood. And, you know, in the country, we have the smallest legislature, and we're asking to expand it by four in the House and two in the Senate. And granted, it's going to cost more money. But I certainly understand that. But if things stay the way they are, based on the way the population is growing in the South Central, which is what you would expect, to accommodate the growth of those seats, and because of the Supreme Court ruling, it's one man, one vote. And so within the confines of 40 seats, we have to accommodate the population growth. And so those people need representation, and it would come at the expense of losing other parts of the state. And that has been an issue for a long time. And so this way, the districts that are currently very big, Donnie's is twice the size of mine, and I carry all of the North Slope and the Northwest Arctic Borough down to Shishmaref. It allows our districts to at least be close to the same as they are now. And I think that's very important. But the plus side for all of the all of the state is that, as Les was saying, you know, you keep the size of the districts in the cities manageable so that people have more kind of a neighborhood representation, if you will, and then keep the outlying districts the size they are now. So, you know, those are the issues that I think are important that maybe some folks don't fully understand. And it's really not a partisan issue. There was a high bar set for this issue to be. Any time a constitutional amendment is placed before the voters, it has to garner two-thirds in each body support before it gets out to the voters. And we were able to garner that support in the legislature to put this question out to the voters. So essentially, when we pass this measure, ballot measure one, we're essentially giving the redistricting board another tool to work with as they draw redistricting lines.
Thank you. Thank you, Reggie Jewell. Yeah, Senator Olson was bringing up, he said, well, you know, I wanted to get this through some time ago, but I was in the minority. But now that I'm in the majority, it was much easier. It looks to me that there was there had to be quite a concerted effort in order to maneuver this thing through. But basically, wouldn't you say, I mean, that this was the last chance, you know, before the census hit?
That's right, and I just want to make sure that people understand that this really isn't a partisan issue, because we've had bipartisan support all the way through this. Our Progress Alaska group is made up of Democrats and Republicans, and we've got wide support from both sides of the aisle, and just Alaskans who understand that, you know, some of the districts could become very unwieldily large, and so. There's a lot of us that are working very hard, and I really appreciate, you know, Donnie Olson in the Senate and Representative Peggy Wilson in the House for getting those resolutions out so that we had a chance to get this issue before the voters and let the voters have the final say on amending the Constitution.
Thank you. Representative Reggie Jewell by telephone from Barrow. Thank you very much for being with us.
You betcha, and thank you so much for doing this and helping us at least give people information on which they can make decisions. Thank you very much.
Okay. Lascara, go ahead.
Oh, no, Reggie's last point is very important. I mean, party chairs will always try and do, whichever party will always try and tilt things in their party's favor, but the legislature, the Republicans in the legislature, the Democrats in the legislature who heard this said this needs to be done just as a matter of fairness. So it was bipartisan. It was bipartisan in the legislature, close to unanimous, if not unanimous. I forget the vote, but we had to get a three-quarter vote in each the House and the Senate, and so there was strong bipartisan support for this among the people who looked at it.
All right. Now, I know there's somebody listening right now. They may not necessarily call. They may not feel that they are welcome to call, but I would really like to hear the concerns from opponents, but who's thinking, oh, wait a minute. The state legislature, these are guys that are already in there, and they're just making it so that they're going to be able to stay in there. Otherwise, some are going to have to leave the club. You know, why should I? why should I go along with that? You know, it's going to perpetuate the status quo.
Actually, it's the opposite, Steve. You know, one of the bad things about politics is that incumbents have an incredible advantage. That's why, and so, you know, Donnie and I probably get reelected. Who knows? Maybe we don't, but you just have an unfortunate advantage as an incumbent. So this doesn't help incumbents. Incumbents, unfortunately, already have that advantage. And Donnie and I have tried to sort of limit the amount of money in politics to try and stop that sort of stuff. But so it actually doesn't help the incumbents. And actually, it creates four more seats for people who aren't incumbents to run for. So it really has nothing to do with incumbents at all. It has to do with making the district smaller so people have a voice.
And but it's, you know, as Senator Olson's explained, it really is kind of aimed at just the status quo.
Well, it's aimed at keeping the districts the size they were 10
right,
years ago,
yeah.
Because if you don't periodically adjust it, the districts get bigger every year, people get a smaller voice every year, and all of a sudden it's going to be like Congress where you're one of a million people instead of one of 10,000.
Senator Olson, do you know if we have very few people left in the state who participated in writing the Constitution, even though we're a very young state? Have you checked with any of them, how they feel? Any of them belong to Progress, Alaska?
I'm not sure that anybody that belongs at Progress, Alaska. There are a number of people that we've spoken to see what if they were opposed to it and if, what were the reasons they would be opposed to it, and they seem to be pretty much in favor of it. I mean, they have got their own ideas on how the Constitution was made from that perspective, but I would say that, more importantly, as you look at what the trend has been throughout the United States of America, as you look at other states that have had similar size populations, they have changed the size of their legislatures a number of times, maybe as much as 20% of them have done that within the last 50 years. And you look at other states as a whole that even there, it's even a larger percentage that have changed the size of their legislature. Right now, it looks like we have the smallest legislature in the whole United States of America. And when you have that going on with the biggest square mileage in size, as well as probably one of the only two states that I know of, or three states that I know of, that you don't have a state income tax, this is significant. And so because of that, it's important that we look at it from that perspective. Now you got people that are going to be opposing it, and they have some good, they have some valid points. Those have been taken into consideration, but and there's always pluses and minuses to any issue, especially when you're dealing with something as important as a constitutional amendment that's out there. And so far, this seems to be the only wise recommendation that has come forward by those people that have studied the issue to try and rectify the maldistribution that I call it, and the disenfranchised constituents that's living out there in some small community that does not ever get to see there, let alone talk to their legislator.
Yeah, I'm interested, Les Guerra, that you say we really should look to a better fix, but this one is the one we can work with now. And, you know, I'd like to probe the issue of that better fix with you before the show is over, but I do want to accommodate Roy, who joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Roy.
Thanks, Steve.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So what do you have to say?
Well, I had two points I wanted to make. I've lived in Alaska since 76, and over half of that time has been in the bush hub towns, Kotzebue, Nome, Bethel, and Barrow. And I wanted to make two points. Number one, I think this is a great idea. We need to redo the balance. There's two issues. Of course, we need to allow more people's voices to be heard, but these current boundaries are large, odd-shaped places that are too hard for the representatives to visit. So clearly this is something that I think most Alaskans will, I hope most Alaskans will support on the ballot this fall. The second related issue I wanted to bring up, and this is something I've been thinking about for years, is since I've lived in Alaska, I've seen disproportionately the population in Alaska, or excuse me, in Anchorage and South Central grow, and I've seen the shift of power move towards Anchorage. And I'd hate to see it be the case, although it's becoming the case, that Anchorage is the tail that wags the other 95% of Alaska. And so my thought on this, and I just wanted to put it out there, is if we were to pick, you know, thinking about the U.S. Congress, where they have two houses, the Congress and or the House of Representatives and the Senate, it was a compromise because the large populated states like New York wanted it to be based upon population, and the smaller states realized that, no, if it's based purely on population, then the small states will never get heard. And that's why we have a bicameral system, why we have two houses of Congress. And in fact, the only excuse for a state having two houses is if one is based on population and the other is based on geographical regions. So my suggestion, and it's not perfect, but my suggestion is that we would take the 12 regions of Alaska that were identified under ANCSA in 1971 and grant each of those a number of senators, say two senators or three senators. That would mean then that people in rural areas would be able to have their voices heard as loudly in the Senate as people in Anchorage. Because as it is now, as they say, Anchorage, even though it's got, you know, certainly we should account for the fact that there's more people here, so they should get more say in that sense. But it's just one lifestyle and just one set of issues of Alaska. And if we had one of the houses, say the Senate, based upon geographical regions, that would allow the other 95% of Alaska, the people that live in the less populated areas, to have their voices heard.
Fascinating. Yeah, fascinating. Very. Yeah, thanks a lot. Those are great and thoughtful comments from Roy in Anchorage. Thank you for your call. 1-800-478-8255 is the telephone number statewide. It's a local call in Anchorage, 550-8422. And email is talk@aprn.org. We're talking about Ballot Measure 1, which is a constitutional amendment which increases the legislature, basically adding 4 seats to the State House and 2 seats to the State Senate. And with it, of course, we have a bigger legislature, but we also have the situation where our districts geographically would stay pretty much the same size that they are now. Without it, there will be more work for the reapportionment board, and we're going to end up with bigger districts across the state. But as to how the politics will play out, that's another question entirely, and we'll go there as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, working shoulder to shoulder with Alaskan businesses for nearly a century. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, I'm Peter Kenyon, NPR foreign correspondent and former APRN reporter. Help support APRN's news mission by joining me on October 24th for the first of the new APRN speaker series. Go to APRN.org to reserve your ticket today.
Yes, it's politics. It's always going to be politics. Our subject is the size of the state legislature. You're going to be asked to vote on that in November. And what have we heard about it in the news media? Absolutely nothing. And it's a complicated, as we're finding out, matter. But there is a bunch of stuff at stake. One of our guests is Senator Donnie Olson of Nome. Or Teller, Rafe, Teller, don't I remember you from?
No, actually from Golovin.
Uh-huh.
But I use Nome because nobody seems to know where Golovin is. But Golovin is a home sweet home.
All right. And a pilot. And he has pointed out to us the, you know, what can happen when you have these enormous districts and you're not a pilot. How often is a person in a village likely to see the person that represents them? And that's not very often because it's just the cost and difficulty of travel. It can eat up a day and a half, just to get to someplace in your district. And Representative Les Garrett is with us, and he's a reform-minded person that got into politics wanting to reform and make a difference. I think that'd be a fair characterization. And he's saying, well, you know, it would be nice if we had a little different way of doing our the way we apportion our districts. And Les, I wanted to probe that with you a little bit because when you actually look at it, things are changing. We always think of it, certain things change. Well, maybe Bush is losing population, Anchorage is picking up population, Southeast generally emptying out, and people kind of are seeing that, population going down in Southeast. You don't have the giant pulp mills and so forth, and huge employment base we once did, and this has been going on for some time. And so you have those trends, but here's another trend, a political trend. Anchorage is actually not as Republican as it was back in the 80s, say. And we see really kind of a real bipartisan legislature right now.
Well, I mean, Donnie gets credit for that. You know, in the Senate, there is a bipartisan legislature. In the House, you know, we've started to get there, but it's not really like it is in the Senate. And, you know, I think sometimes and bipartisanship is always good, and you try and push it as much as you can. And if we're ever going to fix, you know, the gerrymandering issue, it's got to be bipartisan. You know, if only Republicans or only Democrats want it, the other party's going to stop it. But that's for another day. There's nothing on the ballot to do that.
No. Yeah. And I think it is something just like, how do we adapt politically to our changing demographics, which probably is a subject for a show. We get the right kind of wonks in here, and we could probably have a really interesting discussion about that. You know, Donnie, you were pointing out, well, you got the Federal Voting Rights Act, so we're not sure that Roy's suggestion would be constitutional, you know, where you divide the state up by regions. You have half of the legislature is not selected on one man, one vote.
Well, as you look at historically, the senators used to be chosen from the judiciary here across the state of Alaska.
Yeah.
There'd have to be a fair amount of upheaval and legal intellect put into, and as well as gyrations and gymnastics that would have to be put into try and redo that so it could be brought back to that type of regional distribution of state senators like it is in the U.S. Senate as opposed to the population. But it seems to be the only fair way to go because the populations, where you have the population, you're going to have the power under this type of situation. And unfortunately, where the population is not necessarily where the resources come from, and it's not necessarily sometimes to the detriment of places that do need things like water and sewer. And that's, I bring that up as one of the basic human needs that we have in order to go ahead and have a healthy lifestyle that's worthy of the 21st century.
Senator Donnie Olson and Representative Les Guerra is with us. Reggie Jewell was with us by phone earlier. I got some email here, and also on the telephone is Vince, probably Vince Beltrami, Vince of Anchorage. Vince, is that you?
Yes, sir, it is, Steve. How you doing?
Pretty good. And, of course, you're the president of AFL-CIO statewide,
yeah,
right?
President of the Alaska AFL-CIO, about 60,000 union members in the state.
And is your organization a part of this Progress Alaska they've been talking about?
Actually, we are. Yeah, I'm on the kind of little committee that was kind of informally put together with Reggie and Gloria O'Neill and former House Speaker Gail Phillips and a couple others. And we've been kind of talking about this and trying to push it. And I'm glad to see you're giving the issue some time. On your show, and I want to kind of echo in a little bit about I only heard a little, and I unfortunately got a static radio here in my office, but Reggie made a couple points and that I think were, he started touching on the neighborhood issue, or neighborhood-based districts, I guess is the way to put it, and that's really what this is about, is trying to maintain that. To me, it's not about bigger government. It's about better government and what's fair. And when you look at the fact that since statehood, we've tripled the population, but the representatives haven't grown at all. And it's actually the reapportionment or redistricting that'll be coming about that if this doesn't pass, I think we're going to see all kinds of, I heard the term gerrymandering in there and, weird districts that could combine. I mean, there's really nothing that would prevent them from combining a seat that would represent, residents down in from the south side of Anchorage could be combined into something with downtown residents. And certainly there's different needs in those areas. But you look at actually the one, I think it's called the Chugach Mountain District, is a good example of the one that's, we could have more of that if it was to happen. It covers that Senate District P or House District 32 that I think Representative Hawker represents. It goes from Eagle River over the pass to Girdwood, catches the Anchorage Hillside, goes on down to Hope. I mean, it's just this big spread out district similar to Senator Kukesh's district, and if we don't do something about this with adding the seats, which will give more tools for reapportionment, I think we could see a lot of crazy districts like that get put together, which won't represent the citizens of Alaska the way it should.
Well, Vince, what is Labor's angle on all this?
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's necessarily a labor angle. When you look at, we are an organization that's made up of union members, but a lot of the issues that we push aren't just for union members. It's kind of for all workers and what's good and fair for the citizens in a community. And that's, you just look at the record on the issues that we get involved in, and you see that. And that's what this is about. And that's why we're participating and why we, like you said, in the committee that we have working on it, you've got business interests, you've got labor, you've got Democrats and Republicans, and it's just, and rural and urban folks. So from all angles, it's something that makes sense. And as Representative Guerra said, the evidence and how strongly it passed the legislature is evidence that there's certainly good bipartisan support from everybody on it.
Oh, yeah. Ballot Measure 1 is the subject. Thanks, Vince.
Vince, thank you very much for serving and your support on this very important issue.
You bet.
It's 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. And it is indeed true that it is extremely bipartisan, the support for this thing, and it's hard to find an opponent, and the large in large measure, the opposition is really centered on cost. And it's a legitimate one. I mean, because a bigger legislature is going to cost more money to run. And it is kind of costly.
But I think if you don't do it, the expense is going to be at the little person that's sitting out there in some community not being represented. And I think that's where we see the big expense happening, where somebody who is trying to contribute, whose family probably has been here for a long period of time and is not able to feel like he's part of the state.
Let's go to John, joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, John.
Thank you very much. I had a comment somewhat similar to one of the things that was just mentioned by your last caller, and that is that I am in that Senate seat P, the Chugach State Park District, and we do in the less densely populated areas of even the rail belt and the rural in the urban areas have the same issues that the rural areas experience, and that is that we get spread out. And in that district that I'm in, there's no direct road access within the district. You have to drive all the way around through Anchorage South Anchorage to get from Eagle River Valley out to the other side. So it's relevant from that point of view also. But I wanted to ask your folks there a question, and that is, in the rules of for redistricting, if the new results of this passes, if the districts are approximately the same size, under the rules, does that mean that a current district that does only should be changed as much as necessary to get it to fit the new size standard, such that to the extent that you guys are saying that you go back to about the same number of people as it was 10 years ago when they were last redistricted, that if the districts are the same size, they don't get changed at all? Or does the redistricting board pretty much have the map to write them anew anyway?
John, thank you very much for calling. It's a valid point. It's my understanding, and I'm not an expert on redistricting or on reapportionment, but it's my understanding that the redistricting board does have the ability to go in and draw the lines wherever they need to be to try and comply with some of the federal mandates that are out there, as well as some of the state issues that have come up in the past. And so they have the ability, mainly because there has been an exit in rural Alaska, especially in northwest Alaska, going to the urban areas. And so there will be some sizes that, or some districts, some lines that need to be redrawn to just try and comply with that. But it'll be much more minimal than it would be if this measure does not pass.
And I guess also, there would be no solution. Probably, you wouldn't necessarily get your problem solved.
No, I understand that, but
yeah.
I think it would make it more possible to do that because just there would be more units available than there would be if this is not passed.
Yeah.
The other comment
it's fun to watch that, actually, to watch the process, which with the minute they go and move some line, and then all of a sudden all these other lines have to move too, and and then they say, "Oops, I didn't mean to do that," and then you have to go back, and then there's a political negotiation process that goes on to actually get to those lines. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Well, the other thing I wanted to mention is, even though this state is fairly young, only been around 50 years, and it was mentioned that about 20% of the other states have done something similar over the last 50 years. We, as a state of Alaska, has basically done 100 to 200 years of maturing in the course of that 50 years. So the growth has been substantial from the pioneer era to today over that 50-year period. So the change in the distribution of the population is so great that I think it really does make sense to provide for more numbers so that we get a better representation for many of the reasons that your guests had already mentioned.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a dynamic thing. It's going to continue to change. I mean, just the, you know, we've seen employment in the oil business has gone way down from what it was when I first got here to the state. I'm sure that mining is going to continue to grow in one way or another in the state, and that's going to move population around. The various types of resource extraction, the pattern of them is going to change, and all that's going to really change how the population is distributed. I don't know that it's a total given that the trend that we've seen where the urban areas continue to grow and the rural areas empty out, that that's necessarily going to continue. You know?
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Alaska's been dynamic ever since, I guess for the last 10,000 years, it's been changing.
Yeah. I got this one from, thanks a lot for your call, John. I got
thanks
this email comment from Jeremy in Minto, Alaska, and he's pointing to his district, which is a fun thing to do. We find ourselves in a possible redistricting. We saw our Senate district expand in 2000 from just the interior Doyon-Otna region to also include parts of Southeast. And with this redistricting coming up, it will increase the size of our Senate and House districts even bigger. That means a greater area to cover for a smaller population to represent. Seeing that we do receive some state monies, it means our representatives are going to have to compete for money with Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Mat-Su areas. This could mean less state monies for necessary things, VPSOs, energy, education, village safe water, other programs we rely on. So as you can tell, I am for Prop 1. I believe that by increasing the number of seats, the legislature has the potential to benefit not just my village, but all rural areas. And I hope the voters will see this as positive. That word from Minto, it's Talk of Alaska. We're talking about ballot measure number 1 to increase the size of the legislature as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, Elks National Foundation, in conjunction with the Alaska State Elks Association and local lodges, is offering the Most Valuable Student MVS Scholarship for high school seniors. These scholarships are awarded to graduating high school seniors through a local, state, and national competition and are based on scholarship, leadership, and financial need. Information and applications available at elks.org/ENF. Application deadline is December 1st, 2010. This message sponsored by the Alaska Elks Association.
It is Talk of Alaska, and we're talking about the size of the state legislature. It's a constitutional amendment. It has received no publicity, but it's going to be on the ballot in just a couple of weeks. How are you going to vote? We'd like to hear it. 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. Everybody that we've talked to so far is going to vote for it. It passed the legislature overwhelmingly. A constitutional amendment really has to in order to make it to the ballot, and it's up to the voters to approve. Here's a question from Pamela to you, Les Guerra. So, rural areas will have less representation, but each person has fewer others to try to get the ear of their representative. How is this better when the need for getting the legislature to hear us, not the specific legislator, who sometimes only listens to the big money in the district?
Well, here's my take on it, and I hope I'm answering the question correctly. You know, if you're a corporation, you hire a lobbyist, and you get all the representation you can buy in Congress, and you try and do it in Juneau, you send the lobbyist down because you have the money. A person who makes $15 an hour, $20 an hour, they don't do that. All they have is democracy. All they have is their vote. And when you start diluting people's votes by making the districts bigger and the votes smaller, people lose a voice. I hope I answer that question. I think her point maybe is the reverse, which is with all those extra representatives, how does somebody get their voice to an extra representative? It's only 4 extra legislators. That's true. I guess somebody from downtown, if they want to something, is going to have to speak to 44 people instead of 40. That's a legitimate point. But really, your voice should count. Your vote should count. And the bigger the districts, the less your vote counts.
Hmm. If I could just make a comment to Jeremy from Minto, when he had his email, I want to just make sure that people are well aware that the rural Alaska is not going to get more of the six legislators that are going to be down there, the four representatives and the two senators. They're not coming from rural Alaska. They're going to be coming from the population districts that are seem to be increased, that are definitely increasing in population fairly quickly, and that's going to be South Central and the Matsu area. So it's not like the misconception is, and that some people is, that we're going to have more legislators coming from rural Alaska. No, we're not. The legislators are going to come from Kenai, Matsu, Anchorage, or maybe even Fairbanks, and that's I want to make sure people are well aware that that's probably what's going to be happening.
Oh yeah, and I don't think this is going to solve the ice worm problem that has been here as long as I've been in. That Southeast has been losing population, and so now we have there's always been one Senate district that's gotten spread out someplace else in order to get that amount of population. That problem's not going to go away. It looks to me like we're still going to. Southeast isn't going to get disproportionately benefit. It maybe hold the status quo, maybe not even that out of this.
That's absolutely correct.
1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. And Paul joins the program from Juneau. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Paul. How are you going to vote on this?
Well, I'll be most likely voting yes, but I did have a couple of questions. Vince mentioned that the number of House districts hasn't changed since statehood, and I'm wondering how many people were in a House district then, and how many people will be in a House district if Prop 1 doesn't pass. And then my second question is, how does this affect the, how does that increase affect Alaskans' personal level of representation? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Donnie Olson covered that a little bit here. I don't know if you have the numbers for when Alaska first became a state and how many people were in a House district, but basically we're trying to get to around, 1,500 to 15,000?
It's actually 15,000. Yeah. Right. And right now, if it does not pass, if this issue does not pass and the Redistricting Board continues on the course that they are heading, we are going to have 17,500 or so people in each House district. Back in 1959, the population was somewhere around 225,000. At that time, you had 40 House districts that was constitutionally made up, and that's roughly what. I'd have to do the math, but it's somewhere around.
I didn't bring my calculator.
5,000 people per district, yeah. Or so, 5,000 or 6,000 people per district.
Yeah. 1-800-478-8255. We're talking about ballot measure number one on this Thursday edition of Talk of Alaska. We're going to continue doing Thursday Talk of Alaska right up to the election because we have to accommodate all the candidates for state office, including that one that's decided to run a write-in campaign. I want to go to an email, this one, Caroline. You'll like this one, Donnie. During the 41 years I've lived here, I've heard many comments about the cost of maintaining the bush. Complaints about all the money spent on building schools, etc., do not reflect the fact that most of that money goes to the businesses in the cities that sell the supplies for those projects. Another complaint is that if people out there want the quality of services of the cities, they should move to the cities. And I respond that they wouldn't like it if they had to move to the place where the oil comes from in order to benefit from that oil money. It wasn't perfect, but Alaskans used to support each other no matter where they lived. The good old days.
I think those are some valid points. One of the issues she brings up, though, has to do, and it has been kind of the mainstay of one of the legislators that I've served with, is that, you know, if they don't like it out in the bush, have them move to the city. But I think if you look at the population that will come to the city are those people that are generally unemployed, generally are going to be on some type of social services that are out there. And there's going to be an economic burden that comes not just to the city's budget, but also to society in general, because now you're burdened with somebody that probably doesn't have the education to go out and get employment right away. And somebody's going to be living off some type of public funding to go and do that. And so you get these social issues that are going to be coming up with any kind of unemployment where people are staying out late, possibly the crime may go up. And so you're having to increase things like the prison, the police force, the prison population, as well as personnel. And so she brings up some valid points that it's not just move to the city and see what we can do.
1-800-478-8255, but we only got about 4 minutes left. Let's go to Dennis in Juneau. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Dennis. Do you know how you're going to vote on this?
I haven't really made up my mind yet, but I'm still think that this is not an adequate measure. I felt for a long time that we needed to very significantly expand the legislature. You know, New Hampshire House of Representatives has several hundred members, and it's a very small state, both in area and population. But I really think that we need to have even more members, and they need to be an odd number also, because a number of times we've organized the House and the Senate, and we've had a deadlock that lasted for several weeks because the House is evenly divided between Democrats and Republicans, or between members of one caucus and another caucus. And, you know, when you have an even number of representatives, that can happen. And I think, one, we need an odd number in each House. And I would think 33 in the Senate and 67 in the House would be much better, or even better, make it, you know, go even up to 200 members of the legislature, because I really think that we need to have representatives like we used to, where Wrangell and Petersburg had a representative.
All right. Yeah, thanks.
Gateway had a representative. Districts that made sense and in which you could campaign and actually meet people.
All right, Dennis. Yeah, thank you. He's just dropped a whole load on us here.
Well, just to let you know that the initial legislation that I sponsored had actually 48 House districts that were there in 24, but because of the conservative nature of that and the ability to go ahead and compromise, we compromised and agreed to go ahead and go down to the 44 and it
made it 22. And it came out bipartisan.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's an important point that Representative Guerra points out, is that the bipartisan issue wasn't certainly something that I did. It was actually the genius of Senator Lyman Hoffman, who was able to go ahead and see the commonality between those people that were going to be part of the playing and those people that were willing to go ahead and work across party lines and see the bigger issues, as opposed to, you know, I'm going to go by this because he's in my party, or I'm going to be against this because he's not in my party. And he was able to go ahead and ferret out those people that were able to say, yes, we can work together. We may not always agree, but we can certainly agree to disagree and continue on from there.
Well, we never got any opponents here. I want to thank you for coming in on such short notice, Senator.
I think a short notice was Representative Gary.
Yeah, less Gary, even shorter notice, and with your bad back and everything. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Next Tuesday, Talk of Alaska. I think we got Ethan Berkowitz coming in. Then we're going to have Lisa Murkowski. We've got Joe Miller. We've got a whole bunch of them coming up Tuesdays and Thursdays, Talk of Alaska. We've got Pat Yak and Dave Waldron.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by Condor Airlines, with connecting flights from Barrow, Bethel, Juneau, Kodiak, Nome, and Prudhoe Bay to Anchorage on Alaska Airlines, and continuing nonstop service to Frankfurt. Details at condor.com. The Federal Aviation Administration sets rules for the operation of aircraft in airports and provides services to the flying public. Passengers are influential in making flying safer in Alaska, and when passengers know their rights and responsibilities, aviation is safer for everyone. There's more information online at faa.gov/go/flyalaska or toll-free at 1-866-357-4704. This message sponsored by the FAA. Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.